You know, I entitled the devotional this morning, "The Light," say the light.
The light,
the light of the world has come. You know, I love being around kids at the Christmas season. How many of you know kids will say anything, right? We were getting ready for the service, and Eli looked at my bow tie. And he said, "Dad, that is really cool." I said, "Do you like that?" And he said, "Yeah, it looks like you're ready to go to a casino." We've never been to a casino in our lives. Where he got that from, I have no idea. One of the funniest ones, I've told you it many times before, but my favorite Christmas play or pageant story is where the little boy is on the stage and he has to, they used to call it, read a piece. And he forgot his piece of scripture that he was supposed to say. His mother was cueing people on the front row, and when she saw the blank stare in the little boy's face, she leaned forward on the front row to cue him and said, "I am the light of the world." The boy lit up as proud as could be, and he said, "My mother is the light of the world." You know, I want to talk to you about that. The light of the world has come for a few minutes today. You know, when you think about it, don't you, Brighton Assembly? You've got to admit, light is a huge part of Christmas. It's a huge part of the entirety of the Word of God, that the Lord takes us from darkness to light. We see that prophesied in that scripture about Jesus in the Old Testament, 650 years before he was born. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Zechariah was John the Baptist's father. And when John the Baptist was born, the word came through that priest, Zechariah, and he said this about light. He said, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death." Also in the Christmas story, do you remember those two senior saints on the eighth day after Jesus was born? Simeon had been promised, "You know what? You're not going to die until you see the Savior come." And that older man, Simeon, proclaimed, he said in Luke's Gospel 2, he said, "A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." Again, a light. John, the beloved disciple, in his Gospel, he said, John's Gospel 1, "In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Then you've got to consider, right, Brighton? All the light that's involved in the Christmas story. I'm going to show you a few portraits today in my devotional. And this first one is from a man by the name of Thomas Cole in the mid-1800s. But he talked about the Christmas light to the shepherds. The word says this: "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified." The word spoke about light coming to those shepherds, and you see it in Cole's picture. He displays the angel announcing it, but then before the heavenly hosts join him, all the angels come around him. The Shekinah glory, the light of God, coming to those outcasts of society to say, "You know what? The gospel light comes to you." We also see the light came to the wise men, the magi. The word declares to us that the wise men received a light. You know what it was about. They're on this 1,000-mile trek from the east to the west, and they're following a light. You see a picture of it here today as well, another painting, directing them as they moved about. The word says this: "We saw this star, his star, in the east and came to worship him." After they had heard the king, speaking of Herod, they went on their way, and the star, again, a light they had seen in the east, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Scholars for thousands of years have debated about what it might have been, that light. Some said it might have been a comet. Some said it might have been a supernova exploding. I just believe it was a supernatural light to guide them, because the word says that it centered then over the house where the toddler Jesus was. We see the light in the Christmas story. In fact, that's what Jesus himself said. That little boy that quoted it in the Christmas story. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am. Say, he is.
He is.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So just for a couple minutes today, I want you to notice what light does that only God can do for your life and for my life. What does light do that only God can accomplish? I want you to look at four ideas real quick. First off, the word tells us that light gives life. The light of Jesus gives life. Think about it. Light is required for us to even exist, right? I mean, in our lives, our biological clocks operate by light. Our brains understand the sensations of color. Sarah's portrait and drawing was beautiful, and it brought to us, because of light, the sensations of different colors. It takes the energy of light for things to grow. Ron and I bought the kids a fire pit a couple of years ago. It was pretty inexpensive, because when we were raking up leaves this fall, I went to pick it up and it just fell apart. It did. But the fact of the matter is, when I picked that pit up to rake the leaves this fall, the fact is there was a brown spot in the middle of our yard, because the light couldn't shine to really produce the photosynthesis for the grass in our yard. Light causes things to grow. You know, there's some people in the medical field, Denise and Eric and many others of you that are here today. They will tell you that when a child is born, sometimes the doctors are just dumbfounded, because they can't see any reason the child doesn't appear to be healthy. They can't put their finger on it. Sometimes it might be because the mother's had issues. Sometimes it just hasn't developed. And so they will put a recording on the child's record. It'll just say FTT. And it simply means fail to thrive. Can I tell you? I would submit to you that in our lives, I fail, you fail, we all fail to thrive without the light of Jesus Christ. We all need that. Light is needed. We see it gives life. Secondly, light reveals. You've got to say this: darkness conceals, light reveals. And in a similar way, I would say to you that God sent his son Jesus to reveal the way that our lives ought to be lived. He came as that light to our personal lives. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun. Not only because I see it, but because by it all things are seen. Can I tell you? Jesus is the light because he makes sense and he makes life make sense. He reveals the way, right? Jesus, when he was saying that in John 8, I am the light of the world, he was debating with people. The Jewish people were stating, you know what? I knew Abraham. I have been raised as a Jew. This is why I'm in faith. It's because of my heritage. And Jesus was debating them and stating to them, guys, you might see the big candelabras here, and you think because of that you're Jewish. The fact of the matter is, I'm the light of the world. It's because of me you can know God Almighty. Light gives life, and light reveals the truth. Thirdly, I would say this. Light not only does these things, but it guides. It guides us in our lives. Jesus, after he said, I am the light of the world, you know what the last part of that verse states? It says this, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In a dark world today, we need guidance, don't we? We need his direction. It's always been a light that guides. For the people in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, for 40 years, it was a pillar of cloud by day and a light by night to guide them along the way. Psalm 43:3 says this, send forth your light and your truth and let them guide me. Ron and I put on our Christmas card this year, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. This is the way, walk ye in it. The fact of the matter is, the Word of God declares over and over again, we all need a light. We all have gone our own way. We've gone astray. But we have a light in the person of Jesus that came to this earth to guide us along the way. In fact, you see that, study that sometime in the Word of God. Over and over again, the idea of guidance comes from God because he is light. In fact, I would say in the New Testament, the book of Acts, some people call it the Acts of the Apostles. I call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But the entire book could really be the book of guidance, how the Lord directed and guided day after day the apostles' doings. Isaiah chapter 58 says this, the Lord will guide you always. How many of you are like me? As you close out 2021 and move to 2022, if Jesus doesn't come back, you acknowledge, I need his guidance. We need his guidance today. And one last idea. Light reveals, it gives life, it gives guidance. And then I would submit to you, light diminishes fear. You ever notice with kids? We see it in our kids. They're like, hey, mom and dad, I'm going upstairs or downstairs, but there's no lights on. Will you go with me? Will you come along? And we'll flip the lights on, and it's not so much our presence, but it's the fact that the light is on that gives them comfort. I would say to you and I today, with everything going on in our world, there's never been a more need for the light of the person of Jesus. To diminish fears. First thing when I flipped on the radio as I came over to pray for the service today, it was immediately just about another breakout and another hot spot and multiple hot spots around the world. Let me read a quote to you from Max Lucado, great author. Look at it on the screen. Each sunrise brings new reasons to fear. Layoffs at work, slowdowns in the economy, flare-up in the Middle East, downturns in the housing market, breakouts of Al-Qaeda cells. Some demented dictator is collecting nuclear warheads the way others collect fine wines. A new strain of flu is crossing the border. The plague of our day, terrorism, begins with the word terror. We're peppered with bad news, global warming, asteroid attack, genocide, wars, earthquakes, AIDS, new programs, discard enough hand-wringing information to warrant an advisory. Caution, this news report is best viewed in the confines of an underground fault in Iceland. We fear being sued, finishing last, going broke. We fear the mole on the back, the new kid on the block. The sound of the clock as it ticks up closer to the grave. We create elaborate security systems and legislate stronger military, yet we depend on mood-altering drugs more than any other generation in history. Fear, it seems, has taken a 100-year lease on the building next door and set up shop. It's no wonder that Jesus wages war on fear, and his light diminishes fear. In fact, as I began to study it this past week, you know something? It's amazing how many times Jesus spoke about being not afraid or not being afraid. In fact, one scholar has stated that there are no less than 125 times in the Gospels, the four Gospel messages, where Jesus, in some derivative, take courage or be not afraid, 125 times he says, do not be afraid. You know what the closest command to that is? 8 times there is the instruction, you know what, love God and love your neighbor. So if it's about quantity, Jesus wants to make sure that we're not afraid. That's why the light has come. Look at how many times. This is just a quick overview, and we'll close. Matthew chapter 10, verse 31, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Matthew 9:2, take courage. Your sins are forgiven. Matthew 6:25, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Matthew 14:27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Luke 12:32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Matthew 24:6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. The comforting and encouraging fact is the light of the person of Christ diminishes fear in our lives because we know him. The psalmist said it, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, say light. And my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? As we begin to close this Christmas service, you don't have to fear. The light of the gospel and the light of the person of Jesus gives life. He gives an abundance of life. He reveals himself. He reveals what is really important in this world because he is the one that is revelation. It's the person of Jesus that guides you and will lead you into all truth this year and in years to come, should he tarry. And you don't have to fear. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he diminishes, he takes fear away. I thought one last painting might symbolize really what a relationship or the coming of Christ was all about. It was painted in the 1600s by the great Dutch painter Rembrandt. And if you look at this, if you're watching online or you see it in person, you see that there's many nuances. There's a ladder that is going against the crossbeam, and if you see the light hits it just right, it produces a cross, giving the foreshadowing of what Christ is going to face. Down at the bottom of the painting, if you study it, you see a rooster there, really giving the foreshadowing of the denial that Peter is going to give just before Jesus goes to that cross that is given the shadow. But what I think is most intriguing that Rembrandt is trying to convey in Christ's birth, it seems to be pictured in some kind of a stable area there outside the inn, is unlike all the other Renaissance painters, where they would paint, you know what, glowing halos around different people. The picture that Rembrandt's trying to paint is very, very dark, isn't it? But notice the light from Christ is what is producing the light in the painting. It's the person of Jesus that is the light, even as a babe. I would submit to you, friend, as we sing this silent night together as a body of believers and you online, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can simply invite him to become the light that will give life, that will give revelation of what is the best. It'll guide you. That light of the person of Christ, he will guide you. And he'll take the fear away. I'd like to ask you to stand with us, would you, at this time? And as the worship team sings that Silent Night under the care of Pastor Brad Killian, Ron and I are going to start with candles and light our staff, their candles, and then we're going to move up the aisle. Would you sing this Silent Night? And then we'll all blow them out and we'll have a word of prayer and pray God's favor upon your heart and your life, because he is the one that guides and he reveals and gives life and diminishes fear.